Ladies and gentlemen, to the one and the only... Oh, wait, in fact, there's actually a couple of Vinnie Eastwoods. It's the Vinnie Eastwoods Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Good morning, Will.
Morning, Vinnie. How are we this morning?
Somewhat more energetic than yesterday, I must say. Monarch butterflies use medicinal plants to treat diseases in their offspring. This in from Natural News. What happens when animals get sick?
We were random, Vinny.
Totally.
Monarch butterflies.
Hey, randomness is the spice of life. Now, animals in the wild, they don't generally just fight off disease by themselves. It seems they actively treat themselves and they sick their offspring with natural therapies. If that sounds like a far-fetched idea, listen up. Although few studies have been conducted on self-medication by animals, researchers from Emory University in Atlanta theorize the practice may be far more widespread than humans have realized. In fact, they've just discovered that monarch butterflies use medicinal plants to treat their offspring for disease. Isn't that amazing? It's a shame that humans don't actually treat their offspring for disease. Particularly diseases of the mind. And this comes off the back of another thing that I heard. Was it my friend Jonathan Eisen? He wrote a book called Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you can click on the banner and get that for yourself. Very good. But one of the stories in it was about a horse who had cancer. And the farmer locked him up in a little paddock by himself, and he noticed that this horse was eating from a particular patch of grass and herbs, and a little while later, not too long afterwards actually, he went and he checked on the horse and it didn't have no cancer no more. Isn't that incredible? And it turns out that you can cure cancer pretty frickin' easily, man. There's a hell of a lot of cures out there. Mainstream medical science, of course, will disagree with me on this, but they're wrong. I don't really care what mainstream medical science has to say. After all, they're the third leading cause of death, to put it lightly. And if you add in medical mishaps, then they're the number one cause of death in America and around the world. You know? You'd figure that a health industry would produce less death. And it's just the same thing as every other institution in our time. Their job is the direct opposite of whatever they say it is. One would think that was pretty straightforward at this point.
The Rockefeller Institute claimed to have the most medical successes of any institute to their name, including...
Oh, I bet they were...
AIDS.
We'll be right back, folks.
They want to curing AIDS.
Sempre amabile, leggiadro viso, il pianto.
Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Well, the world! You know what? On the spur of the moment, I think today's going to be a bit of a crazy show because it's the full moon, where madness and insanity rules. Speaking of madness, there's a CCTV video that I just finished watching of some wolves attacking a Russian traffic cop on the M23 highway. Pretty frickin' amusing, really, but that's about all it is. They don't actually get him. It's just all of a sudden, this traffic cop's just looking up and he's going, "Oh my god, what's going on here?" And this pack of wolves, you know, just kind of like runs across and past him and everything like that. He jumps into the car. He's like, "Oh, cow. What the heck?"
See, the cop learnt. See, the Freemason cop learnt there's bigger forces in the universe, huh? Pack of howling Illuminati wolves come after.
Yeah, and
pretty
I'm sure those
see his reaction, huh?
Yeah. Well, those in Transylvania will probably be loving it. Now, on to more creepy news. And also, two-legged pig learns to work. Learns to walk, actually. This one from Quirky News. Web.orange.co. A pig born with only its two front legs has become a local celebrity in China after learning to walk. The 10-month-old pig manages to balance and walk on her front legs, even though she now weighs more than 50 kgs. Named by villagers Zhu Zhangqing, or the strong-willed pig, the pig attracts crowds of visitors to its owner's home each day. Wang Zilai, of Li Kuo Village in the Xinkai country, central China's Henan province, said it was one of nine born in a litter in January. "My wife asked me to dump it, but I refused, as it's a life," he explained. And, of course, the other eight brothers and sisters have all been eaten by now. "I thought it would give it a chance to survive, and amazingly it has. Wang started training the two-legged piglet to walk when it was just a few days old by lifting up its tail. I trained her a little each day. After a month, she could walk upside down on her own," he said. "A circus offered me a lot of money for her, but I won't sell no matter what they offer." Oh, isn't that nice? Little piglet. Yes. There's weirdness all over the place, man. Now, on to more serious news. Sarkozy, Nicolas Sarkozy of France, calls for calm as French pension protests gather pace. I would want to know, if you know about this at all, what role does the IMF playing in all of these massive austerity measures that are cruising through the EU at the moment? I mean, it seems to me that, hey, they're trying to bankrupt everybody, and failing that, tick off the people quite enough so that there's like some description of revolutionary actions for which they can, you know, obviously justify a police state. That's my take. But anyway, cars burned.
Well, in France, it's always going to be easy to counter-steer a revolution towards some sort of socialist-leaning system, isn't it? And that's always going to benefit the World Bank and IMF because the French are a bunch of leftists, and that's always the way they're going to tend. Ripped on the French a little bit yesterday, but yeah, that little 5'3" Sarkozy. I'm sure he has some great plans in store for the French people.
It almost sounds like a villain's name, doesn't it? Sarkozy. You know, you expect to see him in a dark room smoking this massive fine cigar and, you know, hatching his schemes for world domination. Strikes gathering pace against Nicolas Sarkozy, pension reform appeared to be pushing France closer to crisis today as fuel shortages were felt across the country and violence erupted on the sidelines of protests by children. On a sixth day of the national demonstration, Sarkozy was forced to appeal for calm and responsibility, quote unquote, after cars were burned, shop windows smashed, and at least two photojournalists assaulted in Nanterre, west of Paris and Lyon. Authorities said that they believe those responsible for the incidents were not genuine protesters, but thugs who had come to disrupt the proceedings. Most likely, police dressed up in disguise. That's my take. While the violence was kept on a limited scale, the president could do little to stop the oil refinery strike from biting hard in large parts of the country. Jean-Louis Boulot, the ecology minister, said today that just under 4,000 petrol stations and a total of 12,500 were awaiting supplies, without saying all, these were suffering actual shortages. And if you have a look at the article there on the Intel Hub, you see the enormous line of traffic waiting to get gas. How unfortunate is that? The poor dears. And it seems to me that if the public is not willing to sacrifice their way of life in order to have a better way of life, perhaps, then they probably deserve to be treated like, well, the French. Speaking of the French.
Well, Vinny, I mean, he already called in 2007 for a New World Order to be led by the UN. Did you know that one? Mr. Sarkozy.
Oh, yeah. He sucks and he's cozy with the UN. He sucks cozy. Now,
but to go back to your point about those anarchists who went smashing everything up, most likely being police, just for our listeners out there who might not know, this has even been exposed to be the case in a number of European countries. The London G20, was it last year, where they went smashing up the Royal Bank of Scotland windows in Oxford Street? A number of those guys were found to be undercover operatives. Obviously, G20 in Pittsburgh. Some undercover operatives were, in fact, caught on film. You can view it on YouTube. Undercover cops dressed up as anarchists. Because I'm not ripping on anarchists here, but they lend themselves towards infiltration. So everyone's covered up looking like some masked bandit. And so, of course, it's easy to infiltrate.
Especially if you're lying on railroad tracks. Now, nurse exposes toxic flu vaccine. Manufacturer did not research side effects. This in from the Intel Hub as well. Last year, thousands of people stood up against Big Pharma and refused to get the toxic swine flu vaccine. Activists around the world stood up en masse to expose this open eugenics operation. And I certainly did. I'll tell you what. How many videos have I done about the H1N1 vaccine? I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 videos. Since then, multiple nations in one way or another have declared the swine flu vaccine toxic. In August, a minister in Finland demanded an investigation into the link between H1N1 and narcolepsy. This was because during that period of time that they were vaccinating people in Finland, the rate of narcolepsy went up 300%. Minister of Health and Social Services Paula Risikko says it is essential to thoroughly examine suspicions that have increased outbreaks of child narcolepsy might be linked to the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. Minister calls for a thorough investigation of this. And in Poland, the only country in the world to deny the swine flu vaccine outright, and incidentally, after doing that, their entire cabinet disappeared, declared the vaccine potentially toxic amid suspicions that Big Pharma had once again lied to the world. Have they ever done anything but lie to the world? I don't think so. Big Pharma, fresh with a new trick up their sleeve, has added the swine flu and multiple other vaccines to the seasonal flu vaccine. It's like, hey, you don't want our isolated poison? Let's put the poison in with the other poison that we told you that you've accepted isn't poison. Vaccine propaganda is in full throttle. Grocery stores, commercials, government agents, and the corporate news have all pushed this eugenics operation on the American people. And bear in mind, it's happening to the New Zealand people as well. I kid you not. You can't go into a mall these days without seeing these big, big advertising banners that say, oh, the flu will take. Don't let the flu get you. Get vaccinated. Yes. And it's got like all these disease-ridden, scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they're like, sit down, come in, and feast upon everything that degrades your immunity at McDonald's and BK and Wendy's and And then they say, it's, you know, then down the other end of the mall is, you know, support your health this winter with an immunity boost. And, you know, and get our jab free here. Go to your local car park this Saturday. And we're out doing mammograms where we increase the likelihood of women's breast tissue developing cancer. And, you know, just everything's just sick. Much as scumbags believe in it.
Yep. Going from pig farmer to big farmer on this show. Most people seem to think that if the vaccine is so toxic, then more doctors would be speaking out against it. They are! Hundreds, if not thousands, of doctors have exposed the vaccine fraud and been literally blackballed by big pharma agents within the medical community. Luckily, a Patriot nurse has taken video of the actual package insert. What she found is horrific, but there should be no surprise to anyone reading this or the plethora of other alternative news outlets. No clinical tests, decreased fertility, and over 20 deaths. Now, if read the inserts on these packages, basically, it's pretty rough. Side effects ranging from, autoimmune disease, and also it encourages you not to give it to pregnant women, nursing mothers, you know, that kind of thing. But of course, what happens instead is that everybody says, hey, that's just such brilliant stuff. Why don't we just jab everybody who's pregnant with it? They're pretty sick, man. And this is what eugenics is in a nutshell. Trying to screw you over bad, bad, bad. Now, moving on. Thyroid cancer patients turned into walking dirty bombs after drinking radioactive poison as cancer therapy. My, you look glowing today. Cancer patients who receive radiation of their thyroid glands by giving radioactive iodine and highly radioactive up to a week following their release from the hospital. And they end up irradiating not just hospital rooms, but also other patients. Friends and family members, radiation levels are so high in these people that they have set off radiation alarms designed to detect terrorist threats, says a congressional report. Hey, you want to get better from this terrible disease? Take this radioactive material. That's got to be good for you. Pregnant women, elderly patients, and cancer patients of all ages are right now being exposed to harmful levels of ionizing radiation from these walking dirty bombs known as thyroid cancer patients. A part of their cancer treatment, they are instructed by doctors to drink a radioactive liquid containing iodine-131. A radioisotope of iodine, which travels to their thyroid gland and burns it out with radiation. Believe it or not, this is called scientific medicine. Really? It might just as well be called a weapon of mass destruction, given how indiscriminately it harms anyone who happens to be standing nearby. Iodine-131, by the way, is why the Chernobyl nuclear power plant disaster in the former Soviet Union was so deadly. It's a product of uranium fission and is extremely potent at causing cell mutation and death. It has a half-life of 8 days, meaning that the amount of radiation it gives off drops by half every 8 days. Now, why would the Nuclear Regulatory Commission allow cancer clinics to turn patients into walking dirty bombs? Well, actual terrorists, by the way, have no doubt figured out that if they want to sneak a dirty bomb into any US city, all they need is a note from their doctor saying they've undergone radioactive thyroid treatment. Oh, that's why there's so much radiation coming from you. You're from the cancer clinic. But if radioactive cancer patients, all known as medical dirty bomb carriers, are so dangerous to the people around them, why are doctors sending them out into the world immediately following their radioactive treatments? It all has to do with the loosey-goosey rules of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which says it's fine for highly radioactive patients to be released from the hospital. So now, about 40,000 walking dirty bomb patients are released onto the streets each year, and the damage they can cause around them will astound you. According to the congressional report put together by Congressman Ed Markey from Massachusetts, one radioactive patient boarded a bus in New York, setting off radiation detectors in the Lincoln Tunnel. State police halted the bus to look for terrorists, but only found a thyroid cancer patient, who apparently ignored advice to avoid public transportation. Should it be a crime to irradiate other passengers on a public bus? If terrorists did it, they'd be rotting away in a secret offshore prison somewhere. So why are doctors allowed to cause this? This report also found that about 7% of radioactive patients go directly to hotels after being treated. There, they irradiate bed linens and towels, which gets washed together with other linens and towels, turning the entire hotel into a radioactive dirty bomb. How do investigators know this? Because in one instance, nuclear plant workers just happened to be staying at such a hotel, and they absorbed enough radiation to actually set off radiation alarms as they reported to work the next day. Yep.
It's great how we live on this clean, beautiful planet, isn't it? And all the climate changers care about all these issues too, don't they? Isn't it just great? By the way, that's one of the most common... it's one of the most common nonsense diagnoses from doctors these days, Vinny, is hypothyroidism. And they don't use an iodine isotope as such, but the reason why iodine is leached from so many people's bodies these days is because fluoride fixes to iodine. And it results in not enough iodine in the thyroid gland, and that regulates a whole bunch of hormonal processes. And yeah, that's why... A lot of, especially women, are getting sick these days.
Yep. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Unity means solidarity. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Pretty sure if you've ever listened to the show before, you probably enjoy having a wee chuckle. And here's an amusing story. Iran war could end humanity. Former Cuban President Fidel Castro says that any military action against Iran will trigger a nuclear war that will put an end to humanity. And I'm inclined to agree with Castro for once, you know. what I'd really love to do is have Ahmadinejad on the show. He'd say, hey, Ahmadinejad, how's it going? He'd be like, I think I'm pretty good. Today, there is an imminent risk of war with the use of that kind of weapon, and I don't harbour the least doubt that an attack by the United States and Israel against the Islamic Republic of Iran would inevitably involve towards a global conflict. A global nuclear conflict, even, Castro said in a video address released to the Cuba Debate website on Thursday. The use of weapons in a new war would mean the end of humanity, he stated in the four-minute video. The former Cuban leader also called on world powers to eliminate all nuclear weapons, which is, of course, why he wanted his missile installations in Cuba. Isn't it amazing how a leopard can just change its spots, right? Right. The former Cuban leader also called on world powers. He said, let us have the courage to proclaim that all nuclear or conventional weapons, everything that is used to make war, must disappear, Castro said. Nice disarmed population for you to take over, just like Cuba, old man. The 84-year-old Cuban revolutionary leader ceded power to his younger brother Raul in 2008. Israel, which is the only possessor of nuclear arms in the Middle East, about 300 reportedly, has repeatedly voiced its determination to end Iran's nuclear program, even through military means. Unlike Israel, Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and has repeatedly said that its nuclear program is peaceful. And of course, if you're an Israeli who's very, very deathly frightened of Iran, you wouldn't trust a word that they say, would you? And of course, if you're an American who believes Fox News, neither would you. And what I find here is that there's just this ridiculous racial tension going on here. Islamophobia, xenophobia, any kind, nuclear phobia, whatever phobia you want. Let's just make everybody afraid of communists, of Iranians, of Russians, of everything. And that way, because everybody's so afraid, consistently, they won't be able to make any frickin' decisions in their lives. So they'll just trust the government to do the right thing by them. It's probably one of the worst mistakes that you could ever make.
See, it's a funny thing with Castro, isn't it, Vinny? I mean, did you hear about the Bilderberg researcher Daniel Estulin meeting with Fidel Castro? This was like back in August, end of August.
I thought he would have been castrated.
Well, I believe they have the commonality of the Spanish language, and he met with him, and a discussion ensued and where Castro claimed that bin Laden was a CIA agent. So he's right about that. But then, you know, and it's always hard to confirm or deny. I've read stuff in the past linking Castro to the CIA, and obviously some of his actions would be in keeping with that. But then people I know would say, well, the CIA tried to kill Castro and, you know, exploding cigars and all that sort of stuff. And the fabricated satellite images over Cuba showing missile batteries, supposedly, and all that sort of stuff, all fabricated, all an intelligence operation. But that doesn't mean that Castro can't be CIA, because there's different levels of security and intelligence, and they even go after themselves. It's like when they arrested that little shill, Howard Turner. And it turned out that Howard Turner had higher security clearance than the FBI agents who arrested him.
That's interesting.
That only came out in federal court, though, that he was an asset. He was one of the guys in Elohim City with Timothy McVeigh. People didn't know that either. The whole where Timothy McVeigh was weeks prior to the Elohim City bombing, in a place called Elohim City, which was meant to be a sort of Christian militia encampment. It was pretty much run by the feds. And if McVeigh himself wasn't working for the government, and if Terry Nichols wasn't working for the government, there were plenty of people around them running that encampment who were. And so it's not, yeah, you can't just say, oh, someone's resisting the government and they're getting assassination attempts. That means they're for real. There's a whole bunch of skullduggery that goes on.
Yeah. And what's strange is that the public is completely unaware of intelligence operations going on. I mean, it's almost as if they think that the CIA doesn't exist, like the NSA doesn't exist, like ISI doesn't exist, like MI5 doesn't exist. These people are in existence. That's why they have their own buildings. That's why they have so many people working for them. And what do you think they do, man? Go door to door and sell effing cookies? You know?
If you don't think that they don't exist, I mean, if you think they're just the fabrications of conspiracy theorists, then go to Google Earth and type in CIA headquarters at Langley, Virginia. And as it zooms into the CIA headquarters, you'll see that a number of other balloons pop up all around, you know, like a 2,000-mile area with other CIA-run fronts. And that's just the ones that are on Google, who's owned and operated by them. You know, but it's huge. And you have a look at the size of the car park surrounding their huge office building at Langley. And they own all the outskirts, and a lot of the suburbs are full of their employees, and it's just an entire spook center, all the way down the Potomac to D.C.
I could walk from one end of that parking lot to the other, and it would take me like a week.
It doesn't exist, Vinny. It's all conspiracy theorizing. So if these spies exist, what do people think they're doing? They're sitting around, you know? Having cocktails.
It's the George H.W. Bush Center for Central Intelligence. That's the name of this place. And yeah. I don't know about you, bro, but I don't like George H.W. Bush. Yeah.
His director, famous image of him in the entranceway to the Langley HQ, and it's got their nice little North Star floor design, and he's standing in the middle of it, you know, some sort of ritualistic pose. But yeah, good old George W., the original.
Yeah, on Colonial Farm.
I just love having
Road.
Intelligence agencies. Don't you just love having intelligence agencies that have $40 billion black ops budgets who can just come and kill you in the middle of the night and no responsibility, don't even get printed in the back of the paper?
No, I don't, bro. I'd much prefer it, you know, if they just funded all their operations by illegally running drugs out of South America and Afghanistan. Oh, wait, they already do.
They make their money for moral basis.
Hey, well, it's a funny thing, isn't it? You know, it's just so, so evil and so, so stupid. The people who don't believe it's happening, you know? I mean, come on. Open your frickin' eyes. Fascism is everywhere, and the intelligence agencies are right in there helping to push it. I mean, global governance is not done in the light of day in general. It's mostly done in secret so that you can't see who's eating you. You know?
People go to these me, why is a financial chickens? Crisis... They say, Vinny, why is a financial crisis got to be a conspiracy theory? They go, I agree the US is accumulating debt, but why does it have to be a conspiracy theory? And I say, well, do you know Timothy Geithner? No. Do you know Rahm Emanuel? Do you know who's running the Federal Reserve? Do you even know who owns the Federal Reserve? No, no. Are any of the public making these decisions? No. So they're planning things in secret. Textbook conspiracy.
It's pretty straightforward.
What they're planning is failing and enslaving most of the world and driving inflation and making life difficult. I'd say it's a nefarious conspiracy. Well, that's just too hard. It can't be. I want to pretend McDonald's and everything's just good. I want to pretend the world's a wholesome place. Just take my kids to Little League and everything's okay.
Imagine if the world was a wholesome place. It wouldn't make any sense anymore, would it? Israeli nuclear whistleblower Mordecai Vanunu arrested for having a Norwegian girlfriend. This is from the Daily Mail. Nuclear whistleblower Mordecai Vanunu has been arrested for breaking a ban on contact with foreigners, one of the conditions of his 2004 release from jail. So 6 years after being released from jail, he's still under surveillance and can't even meet anybody from a foreign country. Israeli police claim Vanunu met with a number of foreigners, something he has ordered not to do for fear he might divulge classified information. However, his lawyer Avigdor Feldman said Vanunu was arrested because he has a Norwegian girlfriend whom police have already interrogated. Vanunu was arrested for a relationship between a man and a woman with a Norwegian citizen, Mr. Feldman said. He is not being accused of giving any secrets. She is not tested in nuclear business. She's interested in Mordecai Vanunu, and he is probably interested in her. Vanunu was arrested at Jerusalem's Ambassador Hotel during a meeting with his girlfriend. The former nuclear technician, who has been charged with violating this order before, flashed a V sign and unleashed a rambling tirade against the impotent Jewish state as he entered a Jerusalem court. Now, the V sign is basically like the peace sign. Is there any, like, occultic symbolism there with the peace sign, Will?
Of course there is, yeah. It's a, it's a fertility sign that represents a female. When the Masons use a compass and a square, a mitre, yeah, they have a compass upon the square, yeah, follow me, makes a six-pointed star. That is the male dominating the female. That's why women aren't allowed in the lodges. That's why the male wears the apron over his genital region, around his waist. Anyway, the that's female subordinates. Oh yeah, and by the way, if you if people still think that Castro is true opposition against the evil capitalist system, keep in mind, and people can do their own research on this, but I think it's pretty conclusively proven. If you look at symbols, handshakes between Castro and the Pope, all sorts of stuff like that. Fidel Castro is a high-level Freemason, along with Chavez, Putin, and Chinese President Hu Jintao. So how about that? So they're in the same club as all the other guys. You know, Bill Clinton was the head of DeMolay, which is the youth Masonic group as he was growing up. And then Bill Clinton became a 32nd degree Freemason and got on the cover of Freemasonry Today back in 1996 when he was inaugurated. So anyway, Castro's in the same big club as all these other guys. But his opposition is against them. Yeah, of course. The world's run by chaos. And what's the motto of the 32nd degree? Ordo ab chaos.
That's right. The Jewish state has 200-plus atomic weapons. Order out of chaos. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. All right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Oh yes,
I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Next hour, we're going to have a regular to the show, older James Burns from Freedom Files. He's going to be joining us for an hour to chat about, well, you know, just general stuff. And has anybody out there actually seen a David Dees illustration? This guy's freaking great. Seriously. Such amusing Illuminati in-your-face illustrations. one I'm looking at right now has the three guys from Star Trek. It's got Spock, Scotty, and Captain Flip-Flop, whatever his name is. And standing in front of the UN building, which has an enormous Illuminati eye symbol on it, and you know those the little triangle sort of pyramid sort of federation type things that they've got on their chest? Well, they're all triangle Illuminati eye symbols as well. And Spock's doing the sign of the devil with his hands, and in the other hand he's holding a book that says Eugenics, a Slow Kill, that on the front of it has the World Health Organization logo on it, and Scotty is holding a bag that says chemo with an IV attached to it, and in his other hand he has an H1N1 vaccine. And, of course, old Captain Flip-Flop is holding a taser, looking at you real smiley, whilst they are crisscrossed above the skies with chemtrails. Absolutely hilarious, hilarious illustrations that this guy pulls out, because he really kind of makes fun of the occultic symbolism that goes on everywhere. Well, you know, he's like, I don't know, how could I describe it? It's more the fact that the Illuminati symbolism is everywhere, and David Dees just kind of makes it in your face. And it's freaking hilarious, man, because I don't know about you, but I'm sick of Illuminati scum. Like Mr. Worthy, a prosecutor, proposes jail for parents who skip kids' school conferences. It's from Christine McDonald of the Detroit News. Wayne County prosecutor Kim Worthy is pushing for a law that calls for jail time for parents who skip parent-teacher conferences, a plan some call inspired and others consider the nanny state run amok. Worthy pitched her plan Tuesday to the Detroit City Council and is shopping it to the Wayne County Commission and State Legislature. Drawing a link between parental involvement and youth crime, Worthy wants a sponsor to guide the idea to law. Her plan would require parents to attend at least one conference per year or face 3 days in jail. Parents of those excelling in school would be exempt, as would those whose health issues make travel difficult and those, quote, actively engaged with teachers through email, phone calls, or letters. We have to find any means necessary to get parents involved, Worthy told the council. We have to start talking about prevention. Putting people in jail, to my mind, is not prevention. Some children don't have a chance the day that they were born. Oh, you poor eugenicist. Worthy staff has said the proposed law would be first in the nation. She said she prefers a statewide law, but would start with a city or a countrywide one. No legislation is pending in the state house, county commission or council, but the proposal is generating plenty of talk and controversy. Wayne County Commissioner Laura Cox R. Livonia said Worthy's intentions were admirable, but the prospect of jailing parents is inappropriate on a lot of levels. Because obviously, if there's one thing you want to do in order to help your children have a better education, is to take their parents away from them.
It cleans things right up for the government to come in and wash their minds. Don't you just love that?
Oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. And also, the end of the Earth postponed. It's a good news, bad news situation for believers in the 2012 Mayan apocalypse. Apocalypse meaning revealing of great truth, actually. Good news is that the Mayan long count calendar may not end on December 21st, 2012. And by extension, the world not end along with it. The bad news for prophecy believers, if the calendar doesn't end in 2012, no one knows when it actually will, or if it has already. A new critique publishes a chapter in the new textbook Calendars and Years 2, Astronomy and the Time in the Ancient and Medieval Word, from Oxbow Books 2010, argues that the accepted conversions of dates from the Mayan to the modern calendar may be off by as much as 50 or 100 years. That would throw the supposed and overhyped 2012 apocalypse off by decades and cast into doubt the dates of historical Mayan events. The doomsday worries are based on the fact that the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, much as our year ends on December 31st. The Mayan calendar was converted to today's Gregorian calendar using a calculation called the GMT constant, named for the last initials of three early Mayanist researchers. much of the work emphasized dates recovered from colonial documents that were written in the Mayan language in the Latin alphabet, according to the chapter's author, Gerardo Adana, University of California, Santa Barbara Professor of Chicana and Chicano Studies. Well, that's good news. The world ain't going to end too soon after all. I always had three takes on the 2012. Either A1, it's a big psyop, you know, and to make everybody stand down. B2, it's real and we're all screwed. Or three, it's the other prediction where it just dawns a new golden age of humanity. And I like that.
Well, Vinny, for the listeners out there, go to Chris White, nowheretorun.com for the best info on 2012. Nowhere to Run.
There ain't nowhere to run, and you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Cruise into our website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Check out our show blog and our archives, and we'll be right back after the break with James Burns from Freedom Files. To the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We have a special guest on the line. It's James Burns from Freedom Files. James, welcome to the show again, mate.
I'm happy to be here, guys. How's it going?
Well, you know my party line, mate. Always somewhat fabulous.
Yes.
Now, did you steal that on TV show, Vinny?
The what?
The TV show.
What TV
absolutely
show?
Absolutely fabulous. That Pommy TV show, absolutely fabulous.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I do, of course, remember that, but I'm not absolutely fabulous, although I probably drink and smoke just as much as Patty, or at least did once upon a time during my younger years. Now I'm 25, I'm an old man, it's time to get serious. and we were talking over the break about what was it called? Oh, yes, The Old Hobbit is not going to be made in New Zealand, much to the dismay of many, many movie production people in this country who were looking to get some frickin' work who will no longer be getting it. But it turns out that one of our guests that we've had on the show before, Grace Hayden, was a private investigator. She found out that the American Humane Association, who gives the okay on films, you know, to say that there's no animals being killed or harmed in this production, were paid off, in fact, in order to give one of their false seals of approval, which I found very interesting due to the fact that many horses were trampled during some of the final battle scenes. And, of course, the public doesn't know this. And, in fact, I may have just broken that on this show inadvertently.
Apparently many ants were trampled too, Vinny.
Really?
Why is it these humane societies and PETA and all these people are complete weirdos?
Maybe because
there is there any reason for that? What's that, Vinny?
Well, yeah, I think they're pedophiles, you see. I would think that anybody who's an animal lover, you know, is a perfectly nice person. Anybody who's an animal rights campaigner is a psychopath. No, maybe that's a bit too harsh.
I kind of see where you're coming from. What do you think about that, James? Because we've got a lot of human issues. It's kind of like I get really upset at people in my hometown who go running off to Africa to try and help people, and it costs like 30 grand to get a team of people there when they could spend that 30 grand in their own backyard helping people who can't. I see animal rights activists as kind of distorted in the same way. What do you think of them?
Well, come back.
I think we're going to have to answer that at the after the break.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our special guest is James Burns from Freedom Files, and we'll be right back.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Tap into the truth frequency Sundays at 9 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Now, we got interrupted by the break. As Burns was about to say, I forget. What were we talking about?
The question was, the question was for James, what his sentiment was on people who are purely motivated by the rights of animals and not so much caring about their fellow man.
I think it's a very complicated issue. I mean, if there was anything cruel done to any animals while filming the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I mean, that should be come out to light because the film industry is not supposed to do that to animals. On the other hand, there is a bit of an extremism out there when it comes to PETA, for example, when they go off and, you know, throw fake blood on people and, you know, meanwhile, they go off and, you know, exterminate domestic pets that they pick up. I mean, there's an hypocrisy there in the animal rights movement, but I do see it's a lot more complicated than saying they're all wackos. I mean, I understand the reason why they have certain clauses about protecting animals in these films because they do put animals in harm's way, and I don't think that, you know, some horses should be sacrificed for a film. I mean, I think that's a little cruel in my opinion.
Yeah, so well, same here. I mean, I like animals too. I enjoy nature. I don't worship it like the occult. But you brought up a good point there about, you know, people for the ethical treatment of animals. I've read multiple news stories about them being caught dumping dead carcasses and throwing live animals on the verge of dying out into skips behind some of their buildings. And that being uncovered a couple of times, have you heard about that, James?
Yeah, I have several times. I mean, they have this really. A lot of people don't know about this, but PETA has this really twisted philosophy when it comes to domesticated animals. They want to exterminate all of our pets.
Yeah, it's weird. Huh?
All our pets dead. Yeah, and that was the thing.
Why is it everything's backwards?
Yeah, well, a friend of mine, he actually said that was one of the open intentions of, I believe, a animal rights group here in New Zealand called SAFE, I believe they're called. And he said that one of their stated intentions, one that they don't actually give plug play or put in their paid advertisements or put in their leaflets or anything, but one that's one of their policies if you join up, is that you're not allowed to have a domesticated pet.
And right. Why
and
is
I think
this?
If everybody knew that, if everybody knew the fact that these people really don't want anybody to have any cats, no dogs, no birds, no chickens, no nothing, all right, you probably wouldn't support them at all.
Well, why is it, do they not want people to have domesticated animals because they think all animals should run free, kind of like in a pet detective type scenario? I'm referring to the movie there.
Well,
like Ace Ventura, run free, my feathered friends.
Hello, my animal friends.
Do you know where they're coming from, James? But not wanting people to have pets.
I think it comes from some twisted mentality of theirs that believes that we are enslaving cats and dogs and other pets. I mean, I see certain animals that we take in that should be left in the wild. But, I mean, if you look at cats and dogs, for example, I mean, they've been by human side for, like, the past several thousand years now. They're kind of beyond – they're kind of in a different category than the, you know, regular wildlife out there. I mean, they've bonded with our species for some reason. I guess they like having a free hand. They don't like, you know, having to go out and, you know, have a hard day's work like, you know – a wild wolf would, but the point is, I think that these folks and these animal rights activists are very hypocritical. While they're wanting to protect wildlife, they don't have a problem with slaughtering domesticated animals, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I had a Labrador Rottweiler pup. I got him at age 10 years old, you know, and he died a few years back, but he was a member of the family. Total member of the family, and there was just absolutely no way I could imagine taking him and then throwing him out in the bush somewhere and saying, you know, run free. he would either get up to a huge amount of mischief or try and find his way home. There's absolutely no way I think he'd survive long term. So I guess their answer is to just kill them, you know.
Lovely.
So, so you've got the UN want to kill all the humans, you've got PETA and SAFE and all these other organisations want to kill all the animals. I mean, there's just a bunch
who's
of psychos,
gonna be left?
Aren't they? maybe they're run by the occult too.
Well, it's this huge freaking death culture, man. I mean, seriously. And what was it? Hitler was vegetarian. Animal rights activist is John Banks. And it seems like the most psycho people of all are the ones that are pushing this stuff, you know?
Pushing loving.
That's
stuff,
very
you know
true.
What
I mean
that's very strange. Save children or all the pedophiles. Save animals or all the killers. Boy, it's weird. Isn't this so strange?
Everything's the exact opposite. Again, you know, this is what we come up with over and over again. Everything's the exact opposite. If you're an animal rights activist, it means you want to kill all animals. If you're a human rights activist, it means you want to kill all humans. If you're a mother's rights activist, you want to kill all mothers. You know, it's ridiculous. It's almost as if every single group that rises to prominence that has any decent amount of funding is usually some sort of psychotic, in my opinion, Luciferian organization.
Pretty much. I think I figured it out, guys. We're living in bizarro world.
We're living in the
world. It is, man.
Bizarro world, you know, in the DC Comics of Superman, where up is down and good is bad and hello is goodbye. That's the world we're living in.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the elite, you know, they've got about as much morality as in that Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know, like they're total psychos. And I think a lot of people just don't realize how, you know, you get into that, we'll put it this way, that Peter Joseph or whatever his name is, Zeitgeist guy, got into this big argument and dash debate with Alex Jones over whether there's good or evil, whether it's nature or nurture. And a lot of people just believe that it's nurture and, you know, there's no such thing as evil in people and no such thing as bad. I would say they haven't seen enough. I mean, I got shown a video on the internet the other day by a friend that I wish I'd never, ever seen, and I hope I wouldn't tell anyone else to go see it. But it revolved around these three, they're called the maniac killers, three 19-year-olds in Russia went around killing 21 people last year, I believe it was, and filmed it all so they would have, quote, memories for later on in life. Something to show their grandchildren, perhaps. They got uncovered by the police, and one of these videos of them killing someone made its way onto the internet. And after 10 seconds, I just told the person to turn it off. I couldn't watch it. People don't realize just how sick some human beings are. Like, I've seen at least two people being brutally killed just on internet videos. And it's like something you should never have to see. But I think a lot of people do, just to bring them back down to reality. I think we shelter ourselves too much from. And what do you guys think?
I don't know, man. I think that there's so much evil and malice out there. Such cruelty. That people really get off on it. It's like we're living in a sadistic paradise. And good people like you and I, who don't wish to inflict suffering or even view it, for that matter, are, I believe, becoming such a minority that it's almost insignificant, right? And I think that's what they want. They want a society where everybody is perfectly okay with cruelty, perfectly okay with arrogance, ignorance, apathy, everything that we really despise, that's what they really love.
I mean, you can watch movies, right, where people are getting blown to pieces and everything else, and we kind of just laugh at it sometimes. Yeah, Arnie movies, you know, just blowing up the bad guys and stuff. But you actually see something like this video I saw the other day, it's kind of like, wow, like, it just made me feel sick to my stomach. I couldn't get the images out of my head all day. I was just, wow. It was way too much for me. And that's for me. And I thought I had quite a high tolerance. I think I'm exposed to quite a lot of bad stuff. And I was like, just get me away from this. Get me out of here. But there's videos of the reactions to that on YouTube little kids without a hair on their body, you know, 10-year-old kids watching this and their reaction. No kid should ever have to see something like that. I think it's just all about programming people, desensitizing people. The police should have removed that from the internet. If we're going to have a big government and regulation, why don't they regulate things in a good way? No one should ever have to see anything like that, especially a little kid. It's going to affect the way they grow up. You know what I mean? The damage is done. Things like that affect the way people grow up. And yeah.
Where are the parents, man? Where are the parents in all of this? I mean, you said yesterday on the show that the first thing Hitler went after were the homeschoolers. And I think that perhaps maybe a parent is supposed to be the main teacher in a child's life. You know, you're supposed to actually take care of them. You're supposed to actually, you know, make sure that they don't encounter any of this crap. And the parents have become so dumbed down, just like their kids and everything, that it's like the blind leading the frickin' blind.
The amazing thing is, though, Vinny, in this particular reference, this particular video I'm talking about, there is a response on YouTube with two parents and their son watching the video. So they've brought their son as a family event. They're all watching it. Can you believe it? The parents actually, and the people on YouTube are abusing them, saying, what sort of parents are you? But the fact that those parents did that, recorded themselves, and put it up on the internet, I just like, whoa, just total... what do you say, man? What do you think? What do you think?
I rest my case.
Taking away responsibility, and no one knows how to.
I believe this for a while now, that there is definitely two forces at work in our, not only our world, but I think the entire universe. I don't know if you call it God or Satan or whatever. Obviously, a positive force and a negative force, and we all have it in us. We all have the potential to be good. We all have the potential to be bad. You know, we have. You know, different days when we're in good moods, bad moods. But I do think that the New World Order is focused primarily on bringing out the negative aspects. I mean, you look at what they mostly talk about in the news, and unfortunately what we mostly talk about is the negative aspects, not the good things, but all the bad stuff going on. And this is just another prime example of the negative side of our humanity coming out.
Do you think it's humanity? Do you think it's programming? Do you think it's innate?
Well, it's obviously, you know, you have to take the good with the bad when it comes to humanity. But I think what they're doing, the powers that be, is they're focusing more on bringing out the negative side. They're feeding that negative energy and starving the positive energy.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a look at the entertainment industry, it's now almost all death culture or soulless slave culture. You know, it's basically it. It's like from Lady Gaga to Arnold Schwarzenegger, the action and the slaughter through to the the reaction at the slaughter of all morality, you know. And perhaps this is the point, that they don't want a society that really looks at things from a moralistic standpoint anymore. They want a society that values entertainment over doing the right thing, that values action over peace. Yeah. And perhaps they're already becoming quite effective at this, because I find that people's reactions, when you tell them things like these, they automatically go into either of those two reaction categories, don't they? They either go into the soulless, mindless slave category or into the ruthless action category for no reason, you know? That's basically it, isn't it? How about if we try to alienate everybody in society by turning everybody who is susceptible into those type of slaves, right? Therefore, anybody who has any moralistic standpoint would stop expressing it, all right, because they, for fear of repercussion.
Like, I could go tell people about that incident in Russia where these three 19-year-olds go out, kill 21 people. They come from wealthy backgrounds. They did it for no reason. They killed a 14-year-old boy down fishing at a stream. Yeah. And people would just go, a lot of relatives I know would just go, hey, plenty of other people get killed, so what? Just having plenty of other times, doesn't matter. You know, like,
it does matter.
There's just nothing that... What does matter then, you know? Like, if killing people doesn't matter, what does matter? Oh, you know, there's a rugby game on 8:30 tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's no comparison to me, but to them, it outweighs all that's important. I'm just wondering how, you know, how does the unimportant become prioritized?
Yeah. Well, I think that what.
Go ahead, Burns.
I think that that the problem here is the people that you approached didn't understand it from the perspective of the 21 people that were killed by these maniacs and their friends, family, and loved ones who no longer have them in their lives. I mean, I think if you make it a more personal level, you say, okay, well, do you think it wasn't important to them who had aspirations and goals and hopes in their lives to do things? Do you think it wasn't important to the families, to the fathers, the mothers, the brothers and sisters and grandparents and the best friends, the girlfriends, the boyfriends? I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to kind of, you know, zoom in on each life that has been lost in such a, you know, horrific way.
And this is the thing with 9/11 or trying to expose how the UN want to kill 80% of us and all these things that no one wants to sort of take seriously. Like, you know, just laugh and, yeah, I bet they do. You know, no one takes this stuff seriously. Like, how do you really relate that to people? It's very difficult.
This is what I would do. Well, how would you feel if your kid or your husband or your wife was one of those 21 that was brutally murdered? I mean, then that would change their perspective. They'd be like, oh, that would be terrible. No. Then, you know, stop being apathetic about it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, it's funny. I was given a 70-year-old man a lift home the other day from an activist little meeting. And I saw something the last time I was in town, and he brought it up to me. He says, man, have you seen these posters being put around here? And I say, I know the ones you're talking about. It's these posters that somebody has been putting up. No logos, no, they're not selling any products, no nothing. They say this and only this. Apathy is the cure for everything. Apathy is the cure for everything. Now, what kind of a sick, soulless society would even have people that really think that? That have actually think in it and believe it enough to want to go out and post it up all over town. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I don't know. I would hope that they're just a bunch of people that don't know what they're talking about. Because apathy is not a good thing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show, bro. Got to maintain, because with James Burns and Will, my mind is going insane. All right. This one from Guerrilla Media, New Zealand's unconventional news. Albert Edwards says that the US public is about to revolt. I see the US public's been quite revolting for some time. Albert Edwards of Societe Generale thinks US citizens are on the brink of a political revolt based on a declining standard of living brought on by an inefficient economic relationship with China. What, you mean how your main export to China is like waste paper and scrap metal? This would happen in any nation where a vision of prosperity has been shown to be a Ponzi sham engineered by the authorities to help disguise the fact that the rich have been getting a whole lot richer. And what were these two statistics we would throw out there, Wells? Like the 45% of the world's wealth has been destroyed in the last financial year, and it used to be 10% of the wealth. 10% of the world's population had 90% of the wealth, and now it's like 5% hold 90% of the wealth, or something like that. And the last US poverty...
I guess incalculable.
Yeah.
It's just like the Rothschild's wealth is actually incalculable.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, they could buy and sell the Earth six times or something, so I hear. The latest U.S. poverty data is staggering. Some 42 million Americans were in receipt of food stamps in July, up some 18%. Make no mistake, the government isn't throwing money at people willy-nilly. Those in receipt on stamps are on the poverty line, currently defined as a two-adult and two-children household having a net income of $22,000 per annum. Or £14,000 to £16,000 if you're in the UK. So how are the two linked? China continues to amass more reserves and experience an advantageous exchange rate with the US. The country is hooked on an investment-led economy and is now only making small moves like trying to grow consumer spending to counter, according to Edwards. China just isn't moving fast enough for the US public. Edwards is confident that what is next for the U.S. is an even more inflamed populace that targets tariff actions against China in a spiraling upwards of the current currency war. I'm not sure if this guy understands that China's being beefed up industrially so that they can deindustrialize the United States and the rest of the Western world by taking away all their production facilities, which actually creates wealth. You know, we're all based on tertiary level services, you know, like driving people around in taxis or getting people manicures and stuff like that. You're not producing any real wealth. You're just spending money on trinkets that, that decorate real wealth. You know, doesn't make any sense. And people are kind of afraid. They say, oh, the Chinese are against us. It's not the Chinese that are against you. I mean, sure, they're communists and they'll take your organs if they don't like you. But
chop you up, have you for dinner sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's said in China, if it walks, slithers, or crawls, or flies, you will be eaten. Now,
I think that's North Korea.
Is it? Oh, well, it might be a little bit of column A and a little...
The whole continent.
The whole continent will eat anything. Hey,
probably
less likely...
To get killed by 2 billion people.
Probably be less like... Yeah, we probably offended a few people, sorry. Look on the bright side, Asia. At least you won't suffer from a food crisis like the rest of the... weak as Western world will, you know, if it doesn't come between two slices of bread with some special sauce on it, we won't eat it.
Yeah, that's very true. But the point I was making with you were making with China, and I was making a similar point with North Korea, is because they're both under forms of dictatorship. Now, China's become a little bit more quote unquote PC, but I mean, North Korea is the real example of a brutal communist regime. I've heard plenty of stories of, you know, how they basically, have resorted to cannibalism, you know, just to survive. I mean, especially the people at the very lower levels of their society, while Kim Jong-il and his son and the rest of the elite of North Korea get to live laps of luxury.
Yeah, no wonder why people get onto verges of revolutions. I mean, seriously, doesn't this happen all the time, man, how the elite of any nation or any empire just suddenly basically, you know, decide that, hey, we're great, we're fabulous, we're going to live lives of luxury while everybody else lives in effing squalor. And they should be happy about it because we're the elite. Yeah.
You're right. And you're also right about China. Not the people of China are not at fault for the U.S.'s situation. Well, I mean, let's talk about Newt Gingrich for a minute. He has aspirations to run for president on the Republican ticket in 2012, and he basically calls the Democrats the food stamp party. However, if we go back to the 90s, it was Newt Gingrich, who was Speaker of our House in Congress, who was pushing for NAFTA along with Vice President Al Gore. And NAFTA is what got us down this path of losing our industry and our jobs to China and India. So I wonder who's really to blame here in all this.
Hey, isn't that the exact same thing is happening here in New Zealand, man? What's his name? Phil Goff, the leader of the Labour Party, is now coming out in a messianic Obama-esque style, you know, saying, oh, we've got all these big problems, which I created, and we're going to solve them, even though I'm going to just screw you all by manipulating you into voting for me when I'm going to screw you over even worse when I get into power. You know, it's just evil
scumbags. Yeah, they expect you not to have any memories. memories and information and digging up facts upon what they said 10 years ago, that's for conspiracy theorists, okay? Memories are for conspiracy
theorists. People who have memory. People who have memory are conspiracy theorists, okay? I think we've just nailed it down. If you can remember what life used to be like, you are a conspiracy theorist. If you remember that you used to have some semblance of freedom in the United States, you are a conspiracy theorist. If you remember that your president lied to you and that all the presidents keep lying to you, regardless, you are a conspiracy theorist. If you know that there is no difference between the left and the right and they keep screwing you over anyway, you are a conspiracy theorist.
If you know that the banking system is so skewed at the top, if you know things from where things start, from the flow of power on Earth, not the true flow of power as I see it, but the flow of power as it's set up, if you know that it's corrupt at the top, it follows that it's corrupt at the bottom. So once you know that society is run top down and it's corrupt at the top, then it follows that all these other institutions and organizations and foundations and societies are corrupt also. They have to be, because otherwise it'd all be on our side, exposing the criminal banking system and the false flag terror and everything else. You know, if the Rosicrucians, for instance, were a good positive order full of truthful men, then they'd be on our side. But they're not. They're out running the mafia with, you know, Silverstein and people like that. They're, you know, like, no matter where you look, you know, Walt Disney, the founder of the Disney Corporation, 33rd degree Mason. You look in the founding of the mafia, Giuseppe Mazzini, 33rd degree Italian Freemason, friend of Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, head of the Supreme Lodge, and founder of the KKK.
On to it!
His photos and all, you know what I mean? It doesn't know – you're a founder of Amway, you know, some Rich DeVos, 33rd degree Mason. It doesn't matter where you look. You know, you start finding these.
And if they're good,
honest,
Apple.
Virtuous – yeah. Yeah, Steve Jobs. Of course. No matter where you look, you know, biting the apple. What do you think he's trying to symbolize there, Vinny? What do you think the bite of the apple is trying to symbolize? The knowledge, right?
The gnosis. Adam and Eve.
Same as the – yeah, the gnosis, the temptation, taking the tree of taking the knowledge, yeah? Just like Prometheus outside the Rockefeller Center in New York represents the fire, the gnosis out of antiquity to the secret societies that use him as an emblem. You know, if you do any research on the Greek god of fire, Prometheus, you'll find he's interchangeable with Lucifer. Yeah, there he is, sitting out there in New York. Everyone's ice skating around him. There's a skating rink right in front of him.
Merry Christmas! Like,
but like the whole system. But then people are meant to see it as, you know, we're meant to know there's an elite and then not look into who these elite are and any of the consistencies between them. Is that logical?
Doesn't seem like it. And also this in from Wayne Madsen, Section 4 of the 25th Amendment likely to be invoked, Obama to be shipped out. Washington has not witnessed so much top-level White House intrigue since October 20th, 1973, when a Saturday night saw President Nixon fire the Watergate Independent Counsel, the U.S. Attorney General, and the Deputy Attorney General in the Saturday night massacre. Just 10 days earlier, Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with accepting bribes while governor of Maryland. In the case of President Barack H. Obama, the senior firings are not happening during a single night, but the recent involuntary sudden departures of the White House chief of staff and a national security advisor, along with what WMR can confirm from multiple sources, is a president who is suffering from Nixonian levels of paranoia, depression, and schizophrenia, has some top-level administration officials considering the first-ever invocation of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, the involuntary removal of the president from office. The White House meltdown has the Washington political circuit buzzing under the surface. Unlike Watergate and the Iran-Contra Iran-Contra scandal, however, the corporate media is refusing to report on the breakdown of the Obama administration and the intestine political warfare within the executive office of the president. Interesting news, don't you think, boys? Depression and lack of interest in his duties have senior administration officials and some cabinet secretaries considering the invocation of the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. All right. Now, it's never been invoked. However, on two occasions it almost was, on President Reagan after the March 30, 1981 assassination attempt against Reagan, and in 87 when Howard Baker took over as White House Chief of Staff from the fired Donald Reagan. PBS reported that Baker's team was shocked over what they heard from Reagan's staff when Reagan was inattentive, inept, and lazy. And Baker should be prepared to invoke the 25th Amendment to relieve him of his studies. And when asked by the Associated Press in March 83 about White House plans to invoke Section 4 after his shootings in March 81, President Reagan responded, "No one has ever mentioned such a thing to me." Oh, wait, that sounds more like Nixon, doesn't it? White House Chief of Staff James Barker III encountered Ronald Reagan's statement by contending that Reagan must have forgot. And during the Clinton impeachment episode, there was talk in the White House of creating the position of a White House psychiatrist who would be empowered to ascertain the mental fitness of the president to serve. I don't think they'd have a president at all in the future if that was the case. Clinton's self-destructive sexual activities were cited as one reason for such a position. Lyndon Johnson's wartime depression and Richard Nixon's paranoia were also given as reasons for an independent psychiatrist on the White House staff. The issue returned during George W. Bush's term of office with reports of alcoholism and depression. I'm sure if you were George W. Bush, you'd be so depressed that you'd definitely want to be drinking up quite regularly. 1972, Democratic vice presidential candidate Senator Thomas Eagleton, or stepped down from the ticket after revelations that he'd been treated for mental depression. President candidate George McGovern was forced to replace Eagleton with Sergeant Shriver. A March 14, 1999, New York Times report addressed the issue of presidential psychological problems and quoted former presidents Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford as being against the idea of a White House shrink. Of course, Carter was opposed to a mandatory annual psychiatric evaluation as part of the annual physical examination of the president. He told the Times, "No, you don't have a mandatory requirement in the law to check a president for athlete's foot." But he added, "I believe that mental illness should be considered with the same import as physical illness." Ford also opposed the idea of a presidential psychiatrist, saying, "I don't see the need for someone in that discipline being assigned specifically to the White House medical office. I think I was normal. I think I am still normal. If I had any problem along that line develop, the White House can acquire the best almost instantaneously." You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our special guest is James Burns. Final segment coming up soon.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go. 'Cause we can't see the way it's going to be.
Thunderclouds rolling in. It is going to rain, baby. Hopefully raining Barack H. O'Barry. We've just been looking over the legislation.
So, Vinny, did you hear that the...
Go ahead.
I just wanted to interrupt with this article here. 9/11 mastermind invited to the Pentagon. So it appears, according to Fox News, they've obtained documents which show that the Al-Qaeda supposed mastermind, Anwar al-Awlaki, who helped plot the aborted Christmas Day bombing, the Fort Hood shooting, the Times Square bombing attempt, and also preached to the alleged September 11 hijackers, dined at the Pentagon. That's right, he dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. The documents are now public. What are we saying here? We're saying the conspiracy theorists have always said that they're in government programs. They're ops. They're patsies. They're double agents. They're working with the Yankees. So-called Yankees. So-called Yankees. You know, and here they are. The Arabs dining in the Pentagon. He's linked to three of the alleged hijackers, including Hani Hanjour. You know, Hani Hanjour, who supposedly piloted Flight 77 into the Pentagon itself, he was dining in the Pentagon months after. It's just incredible, isn't it? But it's a long article there, but I'll allow our readers to follow that up.
Well, you know what you should allow do? It. You should email that to Ahmadinejad.
Well, I don't say I don't think I trust that guy either, but yeah. Well, remember that Iran was taken over in 1953. They threw out democratically elected Mohammad Mossadegh with about $3 million worth and a CIA, an individual CIA agent who initiated a disinfo campaign. They put the Shah in. And they've had power ever since, so why am I to think Ahmadinejad's not on their side? He does Illuminati hand signs. He looks like one of them to me. He's just playing the false dialectic off.
Yeah, he's playing the, what would you call it? Playing the wounded bull. To say, oh, no, somebody please help me. Look, 9/11's an inside job. Please help me. I'm Ahmadinejad.
Well, he says it to the UN as if the UN has credibility. See, he always plays into the UN as a balancing force against the US. He plays into that whole left-right thing. But, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it, James? What do you think about that? This Anwar al-Awlaki in the Pentagon just months after 9/11.
Yeah, I read about that yesterday. I was doing my show prep for this afternoon's radio show. And, yeah, I mean, that kind of proves that there is some tie-in, and it's very convenient that he has, he knew four of the guys that were on Flight 77, which supposedly slammed into the Pentagon. Of course, they confiscated all nearly 80 video security cameras that were in different buildings around the Pentagon, so we couldn't tell whether or not there was an actual plane. And of course, he had ties to the guy at the Fort Hood shooting a year ago. So, I mean, it all seems to be very, very convenient.
Yeah, yeah. And conveniently, a lot of the terrorists are now living on food stamps in Detroit, Michigan. Oh, goodness. Hey, well, the information just keeps coming out. And it's like, you know what's funny? How long does it take before you actually reach a conclusion, right? I mean, it's for us, 9/11 was an inside job, okay? We've already reached the conclusion. It's not that difficult to figure out for us because, hey, we've seen the evidence and we've made the decision. Okay, right, 9/11's an inside job. But brainwashed public, who don't even look at any of this stuff most of the time or never hear about it, because it's interesting, in the United States, you do hear about a lot about these things, but in New Zealand, those stories that come out on American television don't make it here, okay? Even more in the dark over here.
And the public, Vinny, has decided that 9/11 wasn't an inside job. They've decided it was an Arab job with far less evidence and information than we have proving otherwise. So they come to hasty conclusions and then say that we jump upon flimsy conspiracy theories. When there's this, this story here, whose storyline, whose plot of events does this reinforce? Ours or theirs? Ours or theirs? Inside job theorists or chaos theorists? I encourage the listeners to the show to spread this around. This story's got to go viral.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, man. Because seriously, you can't have that kind of open corruption, all right? I want my corruption secret. I want it behind closed doors, and I don't want the media reporting on it, all right? Because it damages my fragile, patriotic psyche. Oh, goodness. It's just so hilarious, you know. Why? And this is the question we ask all the time, but we know why. We know why these people are coming in to have lunch at the Pentagon or dining with the generals and whatnot, because they're blooming assets, okay? And as we said before,
you're racist,
Benny.
You're being racist now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, bro. I'm absolutely racist. I think that somebody who is not white is working for the CIA, therefore I'm racist, right?
That's what people say, right?
So totally. You know, I'm just going to put out some blanketed remark, and then whenever you try to disprove it with actual evidence that's down to a T, I'm going to put out another blanketed remark to counter it. I'm a dumbed-down slave, and I am in control of my frickin' universe. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. Our special guest has been James Burns from Freedom Files, and you will see us, no doubt, tomorrow on the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will.